Africa News Tonight, coming up right after.
This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib, coming up on Africa News Tonight.
People are in a kind of a waiting mode, waiting to see what will happen.
That's VOA's Abdurrahman Dia talking about public sentiment ahead of DRC's presidential election. Details next.
Also, the UN Refugee Agency is appealing for $2.7 billion to assist more than 2 million refugees from South Sudan. And a Comoros court today sentenced Ahmed El-Bawane, Secretary General of the opposition Jua Party, to 7 years in prison for assault.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
It's the Christmas season, but the capital of the DRC isn't in much of a celebratory mood. The country has been suffering from an economic downturn, so many people are saving instead of shopping. Election posters are more visible than holiday decorations, reflecting concerns about the future and how the country will deal with a number of challenges. President Joseph Kabila says he's finally doing a peaceful handover of power after 17 years, but many are worried that he will continue to influence the political landscape from behind the scenes, and he's refused to rule out running for president again. There are concerns that violence could erupt in the final days of the campaign, and while the current Ebola outbreak has been confined to the country's east, where it already has killed more than 300 people, people worry that it could spread. VOA staffer Abdurrahman Dia is in Kinshasa, and he spoke with my colleague Paul Alexander.
People are in a kind of a waiting mode, waiting to see what will happen. I have talked to a few people at the market, and they are holding on their shopping because they just don't know what is going to happen in Kinshasa. Kinshasa has been pretty quiet beside that fire at the warehouse of the commission, the electoral commission. Other than that, basically, it's been pretty quiet compared to what's been happening in other parts of the country where there have been violence between supporters of care of different candidates and also the security forces, and Human Rights Watch been reporting 7 deaths for the past few days alone. But it may change because starting tomorrow, the main candidates are going to start to rally here.
Are you hearing concerns from people that there could be violence ahead?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that is why people are watching very carefully what's been happening in other parts of the country, because Kinshasa is a big city. And so if things were to go bad, it could really be for the worse here in Kinshasa. And from experience in the past, people... The violence, the protests tended to be very violent, but the authorities have promised that they will secure the city. The security will be provided for everybody, and they should not worry. But still, when you talk to people, they kind of worry. So to what's next?
So what is the reaction that people are having to the possibility of not having Kabila in power? Is there a feeling that real change is possible?
There are, I would say, mixed feelings. Some people think that, yes, for good, he's going to go, even though he basically handpicked Ramazani Shadary. On the other hand, others are saying he is probably just going to stick around no matter what. And if the elections do take place on Sunday, because there are a lot of logistical issues still, the Electoral Commission is saying nobody should worry, but still a lot of people worry that the election might not happen, or at least will be organized in a very chaotic way. So all of those things put together, some people still worry that... he might not have said his last word.
So with all these voting machines for the capital that have been destroyed, How are they pulling it together, and will they be ready?
Well, that's what the Election Commission officials are saying. They said that they had extra machines that were supposed to go into other parts of the country that they will bring back. So they had extra machines. The other issue is that they are still shipping in from Johannesburg some other material that are to be used for the election. And today, one of the officials said that the last plane will land tomorrow here in the DRC. So everything should be in the country by tomorrow. But tomorrow will only give you like 3 days to deploy everything in this vast country. And basically 80,000 polling stations. That's going to be a challenge, but they think they can pull it off. The Interior Minister has said that the land border will be closed on election day, but they don't plan on closing the airports.
That was VOA staffer Abdulrahmani Dia in Kinshasa speaking with my colleague Paul Alexander.
The UN Refugee Agency is appealing for $2.7 billion to assist more than 2 million refugees from South Sudan. The refugees are living in bare-bone conditions in six neighboring countries, and funds to provide for their basic needs is running short. Lisa Schlein reports from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
South Sudan is Africa's largest refugee crisis and one of its most seriously underfunded. The UN Refugee Agency reports its last appeal for $1.4 billion was only 38% funded. It is urging donors to be more generous in supporting the current two-year appeal. It says the money will provide desperately needed assistance to the refugees and the largely impoverished communities hosting them. The UNHCR notes the level of violence in South Sudan has gone down since the peace deal was signed in September after 5 years of brutal civil war. Agency spokesman Charlie Yaxley tells VOA since then there has been a significant decrease in the number of refugees fleeing South Sudan.
Currently the numbers are around 3,000 to 4,000 per month, but when we compare that to last year, that's less than half what we were seeing before. So we have seen areas where people were fleeing from stabilizing to an extent. There is still a long way to go with that. And UNHCR does not yet consider the situation in South Sudan to be conducive for people to start returning.
Yaxley says lack of funds has forced aid agencies to make severe cuts in their humanitarian operations. For instance, he says half of South Sudan's refugee children are unable to go to school because of a shortage of teachers, classrooms, and educational material. He says there are not enough doctors, nurses, and medication to treat the ill. He says lack of money has led to cuts in food rations for refugees in Ethiopia. One of his agency's primary concerns, he says, is to provide psychosocial counseling to women and children who have been raped and victimized by other forms of sexual and gender-based violence. Because of the stigma attached to sexual assault, he says the extent of this abuse is hugely underreported. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Cameroon's court today sentenced Ahmed El-Bawane, Secretary General of the opposition Jua Party, to 7 years in prison for assault. It also jailed a Jua member of parliament, Tocha Johar, for 20 years on charges of assaulting a policeman. About 20 people were on trial today in a case that opposition members and human rights activists say is a part of a government effort to silence critics. On Saturday, the court jailed four opposition leaders for life for allegedly plotting against the state. Several other opposition activists received lengthy sentences. The cases are tied to protests earlier this year over constitutional reforms that allow President Azali Assoumani to run for re-election. He was elected in 2016. Before the reforms, he was limited to a single five-year term, allowing the presidency to rotate among the country's three main islands. Greece. Asumani currently is hospitalized in Morocco after falling ill earlier there this month while attending a United Nations conference on migration. The government has said little about his health.
A group of Ugandan religious and civic leaders is spearheading a new initiative aimed at persuading one of Africa's longest-serving presidents to give up power. President Yoweri Museveni has ruled Uganda for more than 30 years and has repeatedly said he intends to extend his rule until 2030. But efforts to persuade the 74-year-old leader to step aside are gaining momentum. From Nairobi, VOA's Ruben Chama reports.
The talks, spearheaded by religious and civic leaders, are the latest attempt to persuade the longtime leader to hand over power peacefully. The government has been facing a showdown with a popular musician turned opposition politician whose popularity is unsettling the ruling party. Sheikh Shaban Ramadhan is the chairman of Interreligious Council of Uganda.
We acknowledge the commitment of His Excellency President Museveni and all our senior political leaders in various political parties, parliament and the local governments who have embraced the idea of the dialogue. We are confident that a non-partisan inclusive dialogue process will go a long way to create a new pathway to a future of sustainable peace, equal opportunity and a shared prosperity for our nation.
Museveni was expected today to inaugurate the coordinating committee of the National Dialogue at State House Entebbe. The 74-year-old leader may extend his term for another 5 years. Last year, Uganda's parliament scrapped the age limit on presidency, paving the way for the long-serving leader to stay in power. Last week, while responding to an opposition party leader who beseeched him to retire, Museveni made it clear that he was not ready to leave office.
How would you like to sit in the audience and see Museveni handing power? That is the most important thing for him. I don't think really that is the most important.
His latest position has deepened concerns over the risk of violent succession struggle the longer he stays in power. The next election is scheduled for 2021. Justice James Ogola is the chairperson of Elders Forum.
Those 50 years have seen a lot of good done, but those 50 years have also seen a lot of pain. As a nation, we must not go through the next 50 years of the same. We must avoid that and have a very different new Uganda for the next 50 years and maybe 500 years after that.
Uganda's main opposition party, the Forum for Democratic Change, has long been attempting to unseat Museveni but has dismissed the ongoing talks as a waste of time where the president monopolizes political power. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiz Wuhib, 18 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. DRC's President Joseph Kabila says he's finally doing a peaceful handover of power after 17 years. The UN Refugee Agency is appealing for $2.7 billion to assist more than 2 million refugees from South Sudan. And a Comoros court today sentenced Ahmed El Barwani, Secretary General of the opposition Jua Party, to 7 years in prison for assault. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Nigeria's presidential campaign is in full swing ahead of the elections on February 16th. The incumbent and main opposition candidates have released their campaign programs. But what are the most important issues for Nigerians? Samuel Okocha reports from Lagos.
Nigerians converge at newspaper stands and social media platforms to read the promises and policy statements of the presidential candidates. Incumbent President Muhammadu Buhari with the APC party campaigns on the motto Next Level. His main rival Atiku Abubakar with the PDP promises to make Nigeria work again. More than a dozen other candidates also are in the presidential race, presenting themselves as fresh alternatives to the old ruling class. But what do people on the streets say are the important issues for them? Residents of Lagos share their thoughts.
How will corruption not be the major thing? And it's the corrupt people who want to come back. They're ganging up because not business as usual for them. So if you stop corruption, then you have stopped their business. And for the common people to grow, you have to stop their own business. So that is it. Corruption remains the major thing.
Last year, Nigeria ranked 148th out of 180 nations for corruption, according to anti-corruption advocacy group Transparency International. The International Monetary Fund estimates it could lose up to 37% of its GDP to graft by 2030. But this woman says economic issues are our priority.
I want them to open the border so that you can go to Cotonou and buy things and come to Nigeria and sell, because now everywhere is tight.
Nigeria has in the past few years tightened border controls to block banned imports and to curb the outflow of scarce foreign exchange. But there are other concerns too.
Our prayer is that anything that is coming up now will have the youth in mind to know how to program for them, because they are the future of Nigerians.
More than half of Nigeria's population is under 30, and as many as a third of all working age youth are unemployed. There are also concerns that the schools aren't preparing students for the modern job market. This voter, Israel Mtubunka, is worried about the Lagos infrastructure.
Politicians are supposed to be talking about power and in terms of the road. How can someone be living with power of only just 2 hours? That is unfair. Two, the road system is very bad. I spent from Bega to Shagamu 4 hours on the road. That is very terrible for someone.
Nigeria, Africa's largest oil producer, is one of the richest states on the continent with the biggest economy in terms of gross domestic product. Yet its roads and power system remain overloaded, leading to power outages and traffic jams. The Infrastructure Concession Regulatory Commission says the country needs $100 billion to improve the infrastructure over the next 6 years. At the University of Lagos, Dr. Godwin Okeke is a senior lecturer in political science. He adds another issue to the list of concerns for this campaign.
I think the important issues, when you look at security, they look at the issue of corruption. Sometimes we have pretenses of fighting corruption. Sometimes we have outright pursuit of the opponent. Then if you look at the economy, the existential reality does not show that there's any improvement in the lives of the average Nigerian. These are some of the issues I think that the candidates that are aspiring to become president by 2019 should be providing concrete answers to, not just promises.
Boko Haram remains a threat in Nigeria, and in recent weeks, there have been several attacks on military bases in the northeastern state of Borno. At the same time, friction between herders and farmers in the agrarian north remains a concern, while the economy slowly recovers from a recession caused by weak oil prices. This is Samuel Okocha for VOA News in Lagos.
The World Economic Forum reports women globally will have to wait 108 years before closing the overall gender gap and more than 200 years before attaining the same economic opportunities as men. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva at the launch of the Forum's Global Gender Gap Report 2018.
The World Economic Forum report measures gender equality in 149 countries based on their performance in four areas: economic opportunity, political empowerment, educational attainment, and health and survival. By this standard, Iceland ranks as the most gender-equal country for the 10th straight year, followed by Norway, Sweden, and Finland. In sixth place is Rwanda, while Namibia enters the top 10 rankings for the first time, becoming the second country from sub-Saharan Africa to do so. By comparison, the United States drops two places this year to 51st position. The lead author of the report, Sadia Zahidi, tells VOA the U.S. downward slide in the rankings is due to poor performance on economic and political parity.
When it comes to economic participation, the worst indicator for the U.S. is around estimated earned income. So the overall income earned by women as compared to the overall income, average income earned by men, there's still a very large gap there. And the second aspect is political empowerment, where the U.S. is ranked 98th in the world, and the average is far lower.
Zahidi says the U.S. score on women's political empowerment of about 12.5% is far lower than the global average of 22.3%. She notes the report does not include gains made by women in the U.S. midterm elections. The report says Namibia's rise in the rankings is partly due to an increased share of women in parliament. It also notes that 19th-ranked South Africa has made some progress on political empowerment. That said, it has registered a slight decline in wage equality. The report finds Western Europe, on average, is the region with the highest level of gender parity, followed by North America, Latin America, Eastern Europe and Central Asia, East Asia and the Pacific. It says sub-Saharan Africa's gender gap has started to widen again after six consecutive years of progress on closing it. The report says South Asia is the second lowest scoring region, with the Middle East and North Africa putting in the worst performance on improving gender equality. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The Rwandan Defense Forces today said they have tracked down those who attacked civilian vehicles in the country's south on Saturday and killed at least three of them. The army says it rescued several Rwandans and the attackers had taken hostage. Three people died during the attack near the border with Burundi, and the army said two more have since died of wounds they received. Five others were injured when the still unidentified militants attacked cars on the road in the Nwengle National Park. There have been several attacks on civilians in the southern province this year. The government has said some of the assailants may have come from neighboring Burundi.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Thomas Blondet, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Nigeria is preparing for general elections in February 2019. President Muhammadu Buhari is running on an ambitious anti-corruption agenda. But opposition leader Atiku Abubakar believes the president has neglected the economy. An in-depth discussion on Nigeria's future.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
VOAAfrica.com.
On VOAAfrica.com, the news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
VOAAfrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.